Thank you, Father, that you're able to perform everything that you promise. Well, thank you that you're a good old God that knows us, that loves us, and that cares about us. The very detail of our life, Lord, you know. And Lord, we pray that as we bring our requests with thanksgiving before you, Lord, that you will come and fill us with your peace, but also, God, that you will fill us with your provision. Lord, you say that we can come to you, not be afraid, because you care for everything around us and you also care for us. Lord, and I want to pray for those who are struggling this morning, God, who's come to an end of a road, Lord, who's come to a dead end, who's come to a bad report, Lord, whose circumstances are against them. Lord, we just want to pray and bring them before you, Father. We pray that, Holy Spirit, you will strengthen them, not just with your presence, but God, that you would strengthen them through your breakthrough. God, that you will provide a way, Father, where there seems to be no way. Lord, you're the God that makes a desert flow, a river flow in the desert, Lord, and trees and life where there is nothing. Father, we want to thank you, Father. You're the God that brings life to the dead bones. Father, you're the God, Lord, that raises the dead. Lord, you're the God that raises and heals and cleanses the sick and the leopard. And Lord, we want to thank you, Father, that you are the one, Lord, that provides for us every day, Lord, and we can come to you, the creator, the sustainer of the universe. And we can ask you as children to a father to come into our life, into our circumstances, Lord, as we surrender our lives to you. Father, we ask you to take control. We ask you to take control. We ask you to speak, Father. We ask you to lead, Lord. I want to ask, Lord, for eyes to open in the midst of circumstances to see where the shepherd is going. And Lord, I want to pray, Lord, for an awareness of the shepherd, to hear his voice, Lord. And Lord, that we will be expecting to see you lead us through our circumstances and out of our trouble. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, that as we follow you, we will find the peace and the rest that you have promised, Lord. So I pray in this morning, Lord, not just for breakthrough, Lord, but for the ability to see, the ability to hear, and the boldness to follow where you lead. And I thank you, Father, that you are the good shepherd. And we bless you for that, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'm still going to continue with what we started off with a while ago, speaking about the Holy Spirit, and more specifically, why did God give us the Holy Spirit? What makes it so significant? And what is the reality of the Holy Spirit today in our lives? And how can we live it to the fullness of which He was intended to give us? And I can't recap anymore because if I start to recap, it will be a half an hour. So if you've just joined us, you can follow on the internet. I think all the sermons are for free. You can just go on the website. But I want us to again to look at one of the scriptures that we start off with, the promise in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, where God was amongst His people. God was clearly amongst His people. His presence was amongst His people. His presence was seen and experienced amongst the people, in the cloud that moved by day, in the fire that moved by night, and the glory of God that was in the temple, that was very clearly evident that God was amongst His people. And then came this awesome promise that God said that one day, and I want us to read this again, God promised that something is going to happen one day that is so powerful, that is so significant, that it was such a great expectation, is that God is saying, one day, I will not just be amongst my people, I will be within my people. And one day I'm going to pour out my Spirit that He will live within you. And the great power, the great privilege, this dispensation in which we find ourselves, which we live ourselves in, is the fact that God is not just among us, but within us, that we have become the temple of God. And I want to read this passage, this promise, this prophecy in Ezekiel 36 again from verse 26. It says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will take the heart of flesh, the heart of stone, out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. It's such a well-known portion of scripture where God says, I will give you a new heart and I will put my spirit within you. And so many people speak about this awesome reality that we live in today as we give our life to God, and this whole born-again experience where we become a new creation and God pours His Spirit within us. But I hear so few sermons speaks about the effect of the Holy Spirit within us, not just amongst us. And there we see it so clearly, is as the Spirit is amongst you, He will move to within you. And once He's within you, something will happen. And that something is so profound. He says, and I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Now, I don't know if you've noticed that before, but in the Old Testament, we have God amongst His people, but His people constantly rebelled against God. They constantly broke the law, the statutes and the commandments of God. They were constantly in rebellion with God. They were a rebellious nation. And then God says, you know what, one day I'm going to take this heart of stone out of you. This rebellious, sinful nature within you. I'm going to take it out of you, and I'm going to give you a new heart. And I'm going to pour my Spirit within you, and my Spirit will cause you to do, to walk in and to keep my statutes and my judgments and my will. And that's such a powerful promise. And I want us to look at that. God is not just within us through the Spirit of God. He's also causing us to walk, to keep, and to do His will. And I want us to look at this awesome reality, because I find so many Christians to this day, we miss the reality and the power of the Holy Spirit within us. It speaks about the fact that God speaks to His nation and He says He will give us a new heart. In other words, a new attitude that's pliable and teachable. A new will and an attitude within us. And we spoke about this in this awesome miracle of the new creation. We used to be sinners trapped in our sinful nature, controlled by the flesh. And then we surrender our life to God and we are born again. We become a new creation. And we see how the Spirit of God transforms us. And He gives us a new desire within us. A new will, a new heart, something that wants to do the will of God. So, you know, I meet so many young Christians, and just recently I spoke to a friend of mine. He was a gangster, and he was in prison, and, you know, I can't confess all his sins, but he was a sinner. He was a professional sinner. He was a good sinner. And then he got saved. Then he got saved. And even though he's still struggling, and even though from time to time he falls, and sometimes, you know what, when he fails, it's like the devil tempts him to go back, to give up, just to go back to what you used to, what you were good at. And then he says, but there's something within me that prevents me. I don't want to do that anymore. The things that I used to want to do, the things that I used to find significance in, the things that I don't want to do it anymore. Even when I'm hopeless, even when I fail and I fear when I'm able, there's something within me. And you know what, as I was counseling, I couldn't help but smile. And I said, you know what, you will not be able to go back because you've changed. The Holy Spirit is within you and He's changing you from the inside out. He's giving you a new heart, a heart that wants to do what God desires you to do. And that's what the prophet Ezekiel speaks about when he says He's going to give us a new heart, a new attitude that is pliable and teachable. It's not this rebellious, self-centered attitude that we used to have. And then he says here in another great prophecy, God speaks through the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 31, verse 31 to 34. He says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make to the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sins I will remember no more. Isn't that so powerful? God is saying, I will take out this heart of stone, and I will replace it with a heart of flesh, and I will pour my Spirit within you, and you would want to do, and not only would you want to do, I will enable you to do what you were powerless to do in your own strength, in your own power, in the weakness of the flesh. And when you were still bondage of sin, you tried and tried and tried and you failed. And through self-will and self-effort, you were striving to please me and you constantly fail. There comes a time that I will take out this heart of stone and I will put you in your heart of flesh and I will pour my spirit within you and he will cause you to walk, to keep, and to do my will. And I want to talk about this awesome reality of the Holy Spirit that enables us to do the will of God. As opposed to our self-will, our self-effort to try and please God. There's this awesome secret, this awesome power of God's Spirit within us that enables us. Enabling us. It says here, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. What we were powerless to do under the old covenant, God did through his sending his son to die for us on the cross, and we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, that he took not only our sins, the things that we committed, but he also took our sinful nature, our old man, and he crucified it with Christ. He judged it, he killed it, and then he raised Christ to new life so that we can also be raised to new life in this new creation. So how does the Holy Spirit that now lives within us enable us to do the will of God? Now, before we get there, I think one of the most important things to understand about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is not just a power. It's not just a force that comes upon us. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's part of the Trinity. And this is the challenge to many people, the very aspect of the mystery of God. The mystery of God, when we think of our in our own human capacity, with our own intellect, we try to understand God's fullness. Now, we will never understand God's fullness because he's God. The moment you understand God fully, you've renegated him to your own capacity, to your own understanding, and he's no longer God. He's just a creation of your own imagination. But God is far greater than we can think or ask or imagine. And part of this mystery of God that we'll probably only understand the day when we enter into heaven and we see him is this concept of the Trinity, that is one God, yet three different persons. And how they relate to it. And for us, it's so difficult. We understand one and we understand three, but it's so difficult to understand what is three in one. And there's so many different attempts to try and explain it, you know, an apple and the skin and the flesh and the core and water, ice, water and liquid and vapor and all, you know, you just can't really grasp it. But there's something powerful, you know, when Jesus was on the earth, we read that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word became flesh. You know, another mystery, the incarnation, when the Word of God became flesh and dwelt amongst us. I mean, again, I guess we'll only understand it fully when we see him. But then in one stage, you know, the disciples comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, just show us the Father and it'll be enough for us. We believe that you are the Son of God. Just show us the Father and it'll be enough for us. And then Jesus' response was, how can you ask me, show me the Father? Do you not know that I and the Father are one? If you see me, you see the Father? I mean, there's a mystery about this. And so do I want to say about the Holy Spirit. You know what? You can't separate entirely the Holy Spirit from the Son and the Son from the Father and the Spirit from the... They are one. If you have the one, you have the other. But yet, they are uniquely different persons in this one entity. And now God says, but I'm going to pour my Spirit within you. That's why Jesus prayed. If you read this last prayers of Jesus for his disciples, and he says, Father, I pray that they'll be one as we are one. You know, there's something powerful, and therefore when the Holy Spirit came within us, there's something awesome that happened. God lives within us. That's why the Scripture says that, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God now lives within you? Now with this, I want to say, we must understand that the Holy Spirit is not a power, it's not a force, it's not some impersonal energy that comes upon you. It is the Holy Spirit as a person that lives within you. So when we say the Holy Spirit empowers you, it's not like, you know, a secret wand that is, you know, weighed around your head with a secret formula and then all of a sudden you are controlled to do stuff. Okay, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person that lives within you, that speaks, that directs, that woos, that calls you in a direction. But he's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that now lives within you. And when he calls you, when he speaks to you, when he whispers, when he directs you to do something, he's also the one who can enable you, who can empower you to do what you otherwise would not be able to do. And one of the aspects of the Holy Spirit is the fact that he is our counselor, our comforter, the one who comes alongside us and enables us, who mentors us into life. Now, you must understand this when we talk about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. You must understand when we talk about the Holy Spirit, it is a person with a will, with a desire, with emotions. It is a person. And the power of the Holy Spirit in us is through relationship. It is through relationship. It is in a relationship with Him that He empowers us to do. So, through this relationship, and this is so important that so many people miss, and maybe also a misunderstanding of God's grace. God's grace is not just forgiveness. It's not just a dispensation that what we used to do, that we failed to do, is now covered by God's mercy. You know the difference between mercy and grace. Mercy is you don't get what you deserve. Grace is you get what you do not deserve. Okay, and I don't want to go into that, but grace is more than that. Grace enables us, it empowers us. You know, that's why when Paul, you know, struggles and he says, listen, you take the thorn out of my flesh, and God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Because in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. You know, in other words, I will enable you to do despite your weakness. So grace is more than just forgiveness. It is actually an enablement to do. And grace is the fact that God now lives within us, even though we don't deserve us. We've been sanctified, we've been cleansed, we have declared holy, and God comes and abides within us. And not just within us, He also enables us to do, to walk, to keep the will of God. And that is through a relationship with Him. You must understand this. It is through a relationship with Him. Everything about God is relational. You must understand, if God wanted the way God created us, in His image and His likeness, the way we were created to be different to the rest of creation, all the animals, all the mammals, all the apes that we're meant to come from, you know what's the difference between all of that? Is humanity that God created, He's given the capacity to choose. He's given us free will as opposed to instinct. Okay? Animals do because that's what they're programmed to do. We have been given free will to choose because God wants relationship. God wants love. And love without a choice is not love, it is instinct. That's what makes love special. I always use this illustration. That is what makes love unique. That is what makes it powerful. It's the fact that you choose to love. Anybody here in love? Okay, great. Ah, yeah, we've got an engaged couple. Now you see, what makes this so special, what makes Jeannie blossom, is that there's a very handsome man, and despite all the women in this room, he has chosen to love her. I mean, there's many beautiful girls around here. I can see them. But somehow he has chosen to love Jeannie. Now that makes Jeannie feel very special. It makes her blossom. You understand? That's what makes love so powerful. And that's how God created us. He created us to have a relationship with us. That's why He's given us free will. And with free will comes the possibility of rejection. Because I can choose to love God or I can choose not to. And that's where sin entered. When we chose not to follow, not to love, not to obey, not to honor, not to worship God, but Satan. Okay? So you must understand about God, He's a relational God. And when the Holy Spirit lives within us to cause us, to enable us, to help us, it does not remove the relational aspect when we become a Christian. It's still important. We still have a choice to love God or to reject God, to follow God or to follow our own desire. And it's in this relationship that the reality of the Spirit comes. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit comes through relationship which is grounded on obedience. What is obedience? Obedience is simply, this is my heart, this is the way to life, follow here. And obedience is, yes, I don't want only want this, I'm going to go there. That's obedience. Disobedience is, yes, I know where you're going and I know what you want, but I'd rather do this. That's disobedience. Now, you must understand this also about the Holy Spirit. He empowers us through a relationship. But when we trust in our own effort, in our own strength to live a Christian life, that is where most of us experience the failure and the frustration. Many Christians experience this sense of failure and frustration in trying to live the Christian life through their own strength and their own ability, through their willpower. I am going to do this instead of yielding to the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to lead us. We need the Holy Spirit to live the life God wants us to live. As a matter of fact, He has given us the Holy Spirit to enable us to walk, to keep, and to do His will. But it's not found in our own strength. That is the secret of grace. That is the secret of the empowerment that comes through the Holy Spirit. But when we trust in our own efforts and our strength to live Christian life, that is when we fear, that is when we fail, that is when we get frustrated. So the victorious Christian life is rooted always in a relationship. You cannot bypass that. That's why religion is so dangerous. That's why religion is dangerous. Because what is religion? Religion is a man-made set of regulations and rules and culture and systems that you have to obey that somehow you will gain the favor of God. But Christianity is about a relationship. Now, don't misunderstand me. You can get religion in charismatic churches. You can get relationship in traditional churches. Okay? God is not bound by a name on a building. The Holy Spirit is not bound by a name in a building. So I find so many religious people in charismatic churches. I sometimes want to spend more time with great men in traditional churches because I see there's a relationship. And I'm sure you've met people like that before. You know, whether it's the Roman Catholic Church or the Anglican Church or the Dutch Reformed Church, you know what? Some of my best friends are in the Dutch Reformed Church. Some of my best friends are in the Anglican Church. Some of the men that I respect the most is in the Anglican Church. I mean, when I get into trouble, there's a Dutch Reformed minister that I seek advice from time to time, because of his relationship. And because of his relationship, there's fruit in his life. And sometimes you go to charismatic Christians and they're so religious in their systems and their beliefs and in their sayings and the stuff. It's just like, hey. But the power of the Holy Spirit is found in a relationship. It's found in a relationship. Not in self-effort. Our effort, if you may, is to have a relationship with Him. not to do works. And the amazing thing is, our effort is to listen, to hear, to see, and then to follow. And that follow is a choice. The follow is, I'm yielding, I want to follow you because I love you. And the amazing thing is, once we make that decision, the Holy Spirit then enables us to do that very thing that we want to do. as opposed to trying to do what God wants to through our own strength and our own ability. Now, that is the important difference. So it is in our walking with God, in our hearing, in our seeing, and our moving that He enables us. And then something happens. It is the Spirit of God that transforms us to actually become more like Him. But the moment we try to do it in our own strength, in our own will, in our own capacity, we struggle and we fail. I mean, here we read in Galatians 5, such a well-known scripture again, but listen to this from verse 16. The Word of God says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit," he goes in that direction, "and the Spirit against the flesh." They go in two different directions. "They are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit," so powerful, if you're led here, you are not under the law. You must understand something about the law. The law didn't disappear. It's interesting in Scripture, I read it again, I actually just forgot to write it down. It says that the law is not for the righteous, but for the unrighteous. It's for the sinners. The law didn't disappear. The law is there for the murderers, for the thieves, for the adulterers. The law is in full effect. But if you follow the Spirit, He enables you to do it instead of you trying to do it. Because the law was something that we had to respond to, and we still do to a certain extent, but we're no longer doing it out of willpower. We are now doing it out of the Spirit power. Something enables us to do, something has changed. So it says there, "Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. They are contrary to one another, so you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit of God, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are very evident. They are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentiousness, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like. Which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh and his passions and his desires. If we live," now listen to this, "if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Now, it's very interesting in this context of this passage. It ends off with, "And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh and his passions and his desires." Remember, we spoke about that, the fact that we've been crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we used to be sinners, and that sinner was crucified, and we are now a saint. Remember that, so I'm not going to repeat that again. But there's a place of in this new creation where that has been dealt with. And then he speaks about this powerful concept. He says that if we live in the Spirit, if we're now born again and our old man was crucified in Christ, it's done away with, and we're now in the Spirit, there's something that we must do in the Spirit. We must also walk in the Spirit. It means that if you're in the Spirit, then walk. I mean, some of the translation says, keep in step with the Spirit. He says that if you live in the Spirit, also keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit is moving. It's not a force that controls you like a puppet master. Now that you're saved. It's not like all of a sudden you can only do certain things. No, you still have a free will. That didn't change because God still wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want robots, zombies, instinct-driven creation. He wants free will. He wants a response. And now he says, now that if you live in the Spirit, you must also walk in the Spirit. You must also keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, you must continue in your relationship with me. In our relationship with Him, it's interesting, we overcome the flesh. So what does this mean if we live in the Spirit and we should also walk in the Spirit? It's interesting how the ESV and the NIV puts it, and we can read that, I think. Next one. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The flesh desires, or for the desire of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desire of the Spirit are against the flesh. You see, there's two different desires, two different wills. Okay, and we are in the middle. We are in the Spirit, a new creation, and then God says, listen, yeah, follow that desire, not that desire. For these are opposed to each other. But if you are led by the Spirit of God, you see there, if you are led, you see, two different desires. Who are you going to follow? Who are you going to follow? If you follow this desire, you don't need to fear, because something is going to happen. We're going to look at that. The Holy Spirit is a first person and not a force. And in our relationship with Him, we overcome the flesh. And that's so powerful. I've realized that so many Christians struggle with sin because they're trying to overcome sin in their own strength, in their own capacity. They overcome sin through pure discipline and self-will. And there's a place for discipline. I mean, it's like when I, many times, I deal with people that struggle with lust. Now, how do you overcome the power of lust in a Christian's life? It's illegal, it's not supposed to be there, but yet there's this struggle. So how do you overcome? Do you overcome lust by pure self-will and determination and self-discipline? Yes, there's place for that. I mean, there's place for the fact that you decide, listen here, I'm going to chuck the TV out. Because after 11, in this country, when you put on the TV, the stuff that's on there is shocking. And wait till after 12. It gets even worse. So if that is your weakness, that you fall into temptation after 11 and 12 and all the kids and the wife is in bed and you're alone in the TV room and these things come up and this is the trigger for you to fall into lust and pornography and masturbation and all those things, one way to try and overcome this is to chuck the TV out. Just get rid of the TV. But guess what? The TV is not your problem. Because then it will be the cell phone. And then you'll get yourself a dumb phone and no more of a smartphone. And that's a good start. It's a good start. It's a good place to start to deal with it. Don't misunderstand me. But that's not your problem. Because then you will go on a business trip and you'll sit in a hotel with the TV. And guess what you're going to do after 11? So you can't by pure self-will and discipline and determination overcome sin. The way you overcome sin is through a relationship with the Holy Spirit, by listening to Him and allowing Him to empower you to overcome it. But you cannot do it without a relationship. And that relationship with the Holy Spirit, it's when we're in a relationship with Him. How does that practically work? Well, we listen to Him and we follow Him. That's where obedience comes in. And as we obey Him, listen to Him, He actually empowers us to overcome. But then He also does something within us. He changes us. He changes us. So for many people that struggle with sin, I say, listen, yeah, what you need to do is, you need to take this sin. You must first understand what we spoke about, the fact that you've died in Christ, that the old man is done away with. You are a new creation. You are no longer slave to sin. You're no longer obedient. You're no longer under the power. You've become a new creation. You've got a new heart, a new will, a new desire. And you're in a different dispensation. There you used to be controlled by the flesh. Now you're controlled by the Spirit. So now you've got to live like that. You've got to go to God and say, God, I'm struggling with this. I don't want to do this, but I want you to help me. I want you to help me to overcome this. I want you to teach me. And I found that in my own life. You know what? In all the struggles that we have from time to time, we as we sit here are not perfect. I'm not perfect. As a matter of fact, I can say, close your eyes. Tell me the one thing that you know you need to change in your life. And as you're sitting here, you can think of one thing that you're struggling with in your life. Whether it's anger, whether it's jealousy, whether it's lying, whether it's stealing, whether it's lust. It doesn't matter. Take that one thing and say, God, I know this is not your heart. This is not your desire. God, I want to follow your desire. And God, I'm struggling with this outburst of anger within me. And I've tried everything and I still do it. But God, I know this is not your desire. God, Holy Spirit, Father, speak to me. Teach me. Holy Spirit, you are my mentor. I want you to teach me to overcome this. I know this is your desire for me, is to be here, to be self-controlled. So Holy Spirit, I ask you to teach me. I want to walk this way. I want you to teach me. And the moment you do that, the moment you allow God to come and take control, as opposed to, I'm going to do this in my own strength, in my own ability, I'm going to do this. But the moment you do this, something happens. The Holy Spirit starts to speak to you in detail. I always say, I learned to hear the voice of God through asking Him to deal with the sin in my life. God speaks to me far more when I open myself up, make myself vulnerable to Him and say, God, change me, lead me. I see this thing within me that's not right. I pray that you will talk to me. And then as I go back about my day, the Holy Spirit speaks to me constantly. See, it's not that way, this way. Oh, that was not perfect. I want you to do it this way next time. And every time He speaks to me and I did something wrong, it's simple. I say, I'm sorry. He convicts me. Conviction brings me to Him. Condemnation brings me away from God. That's the difference. The devil will bring condemnation. God brings conviction. He says, come to me. Let me help you here. Let me teach you how to do this differently. And then He speaks to me. Then I hear Him. And then I respond to that. And the more I respond to Him, the more He changes me. And before I know it, I start doing it right more frequently. And that's amazing. I didn't even have to try to do anything. All I did was pursuing Him. And every time He speaks to me, I listen. When He says, that was wrong, I say, I'm sorry, help me. He says, okay, do it this way. I say, okay, I'll do that this way. And then I try, and then it works. It actually works. This side, in my own strength, I try and I keep on failing. And that's the amazing reality of the Holy Spirit that lives within us, that enables us. So as we listen to Him, we follow Him in obedience. He empowers us to overcome. But then He also changes us from the inside. Because the Christian life, we cannot live in our own strength. We cannot enjoy all God desires for us if we live by our own selfish desires. That's the other thing that prevents us to live in the fullness of God, is when we pursue not what He desires, but what we desire. When we pursue all our selfish desires, we end up never pleasing what God wants. But the moment we decide we're going to follow what He desires, something changes. So as we walk in the Spirit, we have the ability to live a life pleasing to God. But this is always related to that intimacy with Him. And that's the difference between the willpower and the Spirit power. It's almost like trying to push your car up a hill. You can either push this car by your own strength up this hill, or you can try to, or you can get into the car and switch on the engine. And then put your foot on the petrol, do the little clutch control. No, first put it in gear, do the little clutch control, and then drive up the hill. And that's the amazing thing about the Holy Spirit. But it is related to obedience to His desire. 2 Philippians says something that so many people struggle with. 2 Philippians 12 verse 13. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Have you read that before? So many people quote this aspect of, you must work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Have you heard that before? And that's true. That's true. But how do you work out your salvation? Through obedience to God's will and desire that's within you. So it's actually not so complicated. Some people think, no, that is judgmental and that's legalism. And other people say, no, that's a misunderstanding of grace. But actually, the two works beautifully together. It just simply says, listen, your God is the one that works within you to will what he wants to do and enables you to do what he wants to do. And all that you need to do is submit to the will and do what he wants you to do, and he will enable you to do what he wants you to do. Does it make sense to you? And that is your working. Your working is simply listening to the Holy Spirit. And as you follow what he already has placed in you, because he's living within you, he's creating that desire to do the right thing, as you actually pursue that right thing, he enables you to do that right thing, and works becomes an outflow of a relationship. Not a self-effort, will, and striving to do something, to prove something, to become something. No, it's because I have a relationship with him, and I know he loves me, and he speaks to me, and I respond to him. All of a sudden, he enables me to actually do it. And actually, living a holy life is not so difficult. I want to say that again. Living a holy life is not so difficult. Sometimes we fail, but then he speaks to us. And he will show you. He will show you. You know, God is a gracious God. He doesn't come and says, you know what, you've got this wrong, 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 this wrong. No. You know, the Holy Spirit is gentle. He will come to you and he will show you one thing. And that's why I say, if you close your eyes, and we're going to do it now, and you're going to ask God, show me one thing that you want me to change in my life. He will do that. And then all you need to do is say, God, this one thing, I give you access to my life. I want your desire to grow in me, to overcome this thing. And I want you to help me. And then I want to challenge you, that's going to be the practical aspect, simply to listen to his instruction, how to overcome it. I can give you pointers, but you know what, you're different. You come from a different background, you have different parents, you have a different upbringing, you have different wounds, different strengths, different weaknesses. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. I can help if you get stuck, but I'll just help you to get back to the Holy Spirit. So he can tell you what you need to do and how you need to do it. Because he knows you more than I do. But anyway, so he's giving you a new heart within us. The Spirit is speaking to us, convicting us and guiding us. We listen to him, we respond to him, and as we ask him to help us, he empower us to overcome. And then something so powerful, I love this scripture. I quote it so many times, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Listen to this. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from striving to do. There's actually, where the Spirit of God is the Lord in my life, there's actually freedom to do. All of a sudden, it's not so much effort. All of a sudden, it's an outflow of a relationship. But, now it says here, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Some translations makes it easy. It says, this is by the Spirit of the Lord. So what he's saying is, as we see Jesus, as we behold him, like in the mirror, as we see him, his reflection, as we spend time in the Word and spend time in his presence, and we see who Christ is, as we see that, As we discover that, as we hear him and as we see him and we are drawn to that, we are transformed from glory to glory into the same image. So we become what we behold. So who are you beholding? Who are you following? Who are you seeking? If you're seeking Jesus and you see Jesus and his personality and his life and his voice and you are drawn to that, you are being transformed into that. If you pursue the world and the things in the world, shucks, man. But if you pursue this, the Holy Spirit says, we are being transformed from glory to glory. In other words, from being at this level of glory to the next level of glory. So in other words, it's a process. It's not an instantaneous you like Jesus. It is a process to become more like him. This word transformation in Greek is metamorphosis, which we get the word from metamorphosis. Or what do you call it? Well, where's our biologist here? You know, man, when the little egg becomes a worm and the worm becomes a butterfly. Metamorphosis. There we go. Thank you for that. Metamorphosis. That's where we get the word from. And he says, listen, here, we are being changed from a worm into a butterfly. Slowly but surely. You know the process? The little egg hatches, the little caterpillar comes out, and then he chows everything he can see. He goes on a diet. Alles wat hy sien, diet hy. And then he goes into a little cocoon. And then, within that place of rest, he starts to change. Slowly but surely. Until he becomes something glorious. God says that as we see Jesus, as we respond to that image, we are being changed. Little bit by little bit. It's a process. Little bit by little bit, we are being changed into that. And if this whole process is by the Spirit of the Lord. That's the power, that's the significance of the Holy Spirit that is within us that will cause us to do, to walk, and to become. So I want to encourage you, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's why Paul says that if we live in the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us walk with Him now that we're in the Spirit. The question I want to leave you with this morning is, do you sincerely desire to be directed and to be transformed, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? Do you desire? And this is the key. This is the key, people. Do you have a desire to be directed by God? Do you have a desire to be directed by the Holy Spirit within you? If you have a desire for that, surrender that to Him. If you have a desire to be directed and empowered by the Holy Spirit, be sensitive to Him. Create an awareness within you that God is alive, that He lives within you, and He wants you to become like Christ. So don't shut Him out of your life. Cultivate an awareness of God within you that has a desire for you to become like Jesus, and ask Him. Ask Him. Say, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to know this mystery. I want to become like Christ. I want to know your desire. I want to know your heart. And then be aware that He's constantly speaking to you. And all you need to do is search for His voice. And that voice is a still voice. It's a small voice. And I love the way God works. He's a gentle God. But the thing is, if God was constantly screaming at us, I mean, we would be afraid. We would be like, but God doesn't want us to respond out of obligation. He wants us to respond out of love. And that's why I love the way He whispers. Because if you desire Him, you will listen. You will seek. So I want to encourage you this morning that God wants you to become like Christ, and He's given His Spirit within you to empower you to become like Him from glory to glory. And all you need to do is to follow Him. Just follow His voice. Surrender your challenges to Him and say, God, teach me. Help me. I want to change. It's not enough to know that I have a problem. It's not enough to try and do it in your own strength. No, what you actually must do is say, God, help me. Teach me. Change me. So, cultivate an awareness of His voice. Be obedient to that voice. Grow in that your relationship with Him. See Him as your mentor. And that empowerment and enablement will come and change your life to be. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that you've given us life through your Son. And you say, Lord, you've come to give us life and life more abundantly. Life that cannot be contained, cannot be controlled, cannot be measured. And Lord, you said it is to our advantage that you go away. Because as you go away, you will ask the Father to send us another one, the Helper. It's to our advantage to have you within us, not just amongst us. And Jesus, you went to the Father so that God would not just be amongst us, but within us. And it's to our advantage because we can all access you at any time. And that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now gives life to our mortal bodies. It enables us to overcome the world and all its temptations and philosophies and desires and lies. And God, I want to thank you that you're within us and you want to have this relationship with us. You want us to not just know you, but to become like you. And we want to thank you, Father, that we don't need to strive anymore. We don't need to push the scar. It's so difficult. Lord, you've given us your Spirit that is in us, the engine that's within us, that enables us to get to the top. And Lord, I want to pray for each and every person here today. If you are here this morning and you are struggling with something in your life, and you know that God has even been speaking to you about it, and you've been struggling and you've been crying out. I just sense there's somebody that's been crying, God, help me. How can I struggle. I try and I keep on failing. I really believe God wants to encourage you today. He says, come to my Spirit. Listen to my Spirit. Allow me. Allow me. And if you're here today and you are struggling, you are struggling with issues in your life, and I shouldn't even ask that. We all are. But if you're here this morning and you want to respond to this God, if you only know a self-effort relationship with God and you want to break free from self-effort, you want to break free from condemnation, you want to break free from feeling like a failure all the time, if you want to experience this life of liberty and joy and freedom that is in Christ, and you've been struggling and you can relate to this, I want to really pray for you. And if that is you, I just want you to respond to God. Say, God, here I am, God. I want to be free. I want to be free, Lord. I want to experience this fullness. If that is you, I just want you to respond before God. But just right now, all the eyes closed. Just raise your hand. Thank you for those hands. Father, I want to thank you. Just where you are, I'm not going to ask you to come forward. You can drop your hands again. If there's anybody more, I just want you to respond to God. If you know you're struggling and you want to be free and you want this, I just thank you for those hands. Just raise your hand before God and you can drop it again. It's just a response. It's just, God, I acknowledge you speaking to me tonight, and Lord, I want to respond to that. Lord, I want to thank you for all these hearts, Lord. I want to thank you, Father, and I want to pray, Father, even right now, and I want the rest of us just for a moment just to think. Just think about, and I want you not to think, I want you to ask God. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit. Say, God, I want to know, what is the area in my life that you want to change? The desire of your life in my life. God, just show me an area. So I'm going to give you an opportunity, just where you're seated, just ask God to show you that area. Now I want you to ask Him to help you. Just bring that before God. God, I want to bring this anger before you. Holy Spirit, I know this is not what you desire in my life, but I ask you to teach me, to show me how to change. Lord, I bring this lust before you that I cannot come out of. Lord, I ask you that you will come and set me free. I pray that you will show me. Lord, and I ask this deviousness within me. Lord, I pray that you'll help me to be free. Lord, I pray for this fear of man. I'm just so afraid. I'm just so afraid of what people think. And I keep on bending my knee to what people think of me and not of what you think of me. God, I want to be free of this. I want to follow you. God, I pray for this racism in my heart. It makes me hard towards those of black and color. And this anger within me. And Lord, this anger towards the whites. Lord, I know this is not you, God, but I pray that you, Holy Spirit, that you will come and set me free, that you will teach me. Lord, I pray for this fear of lack. I'm constantly afraid and nervous that you're not going to provide for me and that I'm not going to see your provision. God, I pray that you would help me. God, I pray for all these things and so many others. God, I pray that as we bring in before you, Holy Spirit, that you will come and teach us. Make us aware of your presence. Make us aware of your voice. Lord, as we bring these things, God, as we bring these hearts before you, as we bring our hearts, Lord, I pray that you would respond to each and every heart, Lord. I know you do. God, I pray that you'll open each and every ear to hear your voice, to see you. And God, I pray for this journey with you every day as we come before you, as our mentor, as the one who counsels. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to access this privilege we have to come to you every day and to ask you to teach us. We don't need to go to a man or to a woman. We don't need to fly to America. We don't need to pay thousands of rands per hour. We can come to you for free. You say, those who are thirsty, come, buy, eat, drink, for what is free. And Father, I just pray for that here right now in Jesus' name. And if you are here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, or your life is far away from you, you've turned away from Him, and you know you're not in a right relationship with Him, and you want to return to Him, I also want to give you an opportunity to respond to Him and say, Father, take my life again. Take my life for the first time. God, I want to give you my life because I know that you love me. If that is you, I just want you to respond also by just raising your hand. Say, God, here I am. I just want to give you my life. Thank you for those hands. And Father, I want to pray, Lord, as we close this meeting, I want to ask you can drop your hands. If you've raised your hand, I want you to come forward and I want to pray with you. I want to seal what God has given you through His Son, that eternal life. I want you to leave this place with absolute confidence that you know that you're in right standing with God, and that if you have to die tomorrow, you will know Him and you will see Him. And if you raised your hand, I want to pray with you afterwards, but I'm going to dismiss the meeting right here. And I want to ask you to come forward for prayer. And if there's any other prayer needs, please come forward. Would like to pray with you, but I'm going to dismiss the meeting. I want to say thank you for coming. May God bless you. Father, I pray for each and every heart here. I pray that they will grow in intimacy, in relationship with you, and that we may walk in the fullness and the power of the Spirit that you've given us. And that we will be Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered believers on the earth, living lives that glorifies you, that gives honor to you. Lord, that you will radiate through us as we become more like you, in Jesus' name.